Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. This is True Romance. I'm Carolina Barlow, and I'm joined
by Devin Leary.
Sorry, you know I can't say joined by or joined with, and I don't know the difference. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope everyone is having only a borderline anxious day. I hope if you're doing two Thanksgivings with divorced parents, one of them is good at cooking.
Wait, do people really do two?
Oh, yeah. Some people go back and forth between two houses. If you're me and you're doing divorced parents Thanksgiving, you only get one house, which is its own tragedy. But we're not here to talk about that right now. Devin, you recently saw something. You saw something.
I participated in the culture recently. A few weeks ago, I was supposed to see the movie Tar, the cultural moment Tar, with friend of the pod, Tess Sitzman.
Oh, I thought and you were going to say friend of the pod, Kate Blanchett.
I wish friend of the pod, Kate. Kate, wish you were a friend of the pod. Reach out.
She's listening. She's listening, but I bet she says she doesn't.
Okay, so I was supposed to go see it in theaters. I Googled the running time. It was 2 hours, 37 minutes. I said, I can't see that in the theater. I said, I have to see that at home where I can be on my phone for large portions of the time.
For 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, for 2 hours and 30 minutes. And then the 7 minute climax, I'll tune in. So that's what I did. And here's what I'll say. This is supposed to be a movie about someone getting canceled / Me Too'd, okay? That's what piqued my interest. And it was said somewhere that I was reading that it's about separating the art from the artist. Now, The art, the chosen art form of Tar is classical music. So for me, all powerful effect of like, wow, this person's an incredible talent, but people have to distinguish that from her behavior. I'm like, I'm hearing elevator music. I'm not hearing anything that's worth like compromising one's values over. Like, okay, for me, it's really hard. Chris Brown, I love Wall to Wall. I love a lot of No Air, a lot of Chris Brown songs. That's hard for me to separate that art from the artist. But
you're able to, right? I don't think, are you blasting Chris Brown still secretly?
I mean,
Devin?
I mean, I am. I am. I do still listen to No Air, but people will take comfort in the fact that that's hard for me. I bump against it every once in a while. But I'm saying when I'm hearing a metronome clicking and then some trombones key in, and that, like, I'm just like, what? And then also, I'm like, oh, so she's like the composer, like she stands at the front with the sticks. And I'm like, oh, that person does something.
That
like,
is the definition. She stands at the front with the sticks.
I kind of thought that that person was for show. Like, I didn't know. Like,
they
I didn't
were actually
know that
necessary.
the swinging of the arms and the pointing and stuff. Like, don't people just know the music and they play when they're supposed to play? Like, what's she really doing up there? She's standing up there, like, she's like going, doing flailing motions, and she looks emotional and stuff. But I'm like, wait, are they like changing how they play based on what she does? It feels like if you know the song or you don't know the song, why do you need a woman up there pointing sticks at you? If anything, I'm like, this is actually embarrassing for this symphony that they don't just know when to start playing their part of the music. Why do they need this lady up there telling them what to do? They're babies. They're a whole bunch of babies in suits. So you know what? That was my takeaway. And then also, if you're going to make people sit for 2 hours and 30 minutes, I need
sex.
A little more, a hell of a lot more sex and a little more drama. Like I fell asleep at one point. I woke up, I go, oh my God, I must have just fallen asleep for like 45 minutes of the movie. Okay, well, you know what? I don't need to see that whole 45 minutes. It's whatever. I'll just tune back in. I'm sure I'll know what's going on. I only fell asleep for 7 minutes. There was still an hour and 30 minutes left. So I feel I'm missing something. I don't really know. I think I really need to maybe keep my holiday movie watching to Lindsay Lohan's comeback and not engage elsewhere.
It reminds me of a time that me and a boyfriend were not dating, and I went to go see, we had just broken up, and I went to go see The Iron Lady, the movie where Meryl Streep plays Margaret Thatcher. And I was so bored, I got back together with my boyfriend. Like, I was like, I'm going to go text my ex. Like, this is just so boring. Like, this is not distracting at all. Now, had it been White Lotus season 2, I might have been on the edge of my seat like I was in the last episode of White Lotus, where I literally could not keep my eyes away from the screen and was like, I can't wait to rewatch this. And that's also how I felt on the most recent episode of Potomac, where Mia throws water on Wendy. And I was watching that also, trying to make sure I could remember every single detail. I think it's interesting, the whole thing about separating the art from the artist, though, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to separate Woody Allen from Woody Allen movies. I just want to say he sucks.
I think it's a case-by-case thing.
We know you can listen to Chris Pratt in the car.
I think it's a case-by-case thing. I think for other people,
No Air featuring Jordan Sparks, and that is a piece of art that lives on its own.
It does live on its own. And I will say, like, okay, Woody Allen's making movies about like dating teenagers a lot of the time. I don't know. Michael Jackson doesn't have songs about molesting that I know of. Maybe there's some subtext.
Okay, Kathy Hilton.
I don't want to align with Kathy, but I do. I mean, also, okay, let's be fair. There's so many people at this point who've been quote unquote canceled. It's like, so what are we supposed to have then?
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
You're acting like half the population has been canceled.
Well,
like
a lot of
Louis C.K. and Dave Chappelle.
First of all, you really think it's just Louis C.K. and Dave Chappelle?
I think it's like 10 more people that I could name at the top of my head, and then I would struggle.
Okay, but also, I don't know that Dave Chappelle is canceled.
Well, that's the other thing. None of them are like officially canceled. Both of them were nominated for like Grammys.
I mean, I don't know. I don't need to engage in a whole conversation about that. For me, my personal opinion is like, I can still enjoy certain things despite what's been in the news about the person.
Is that why you love listening to Putin's dance single?
It took you a second to get what you were going to get to there.
Putin's 30-minute Netflix stand-up.
To Putin's...
Did you know that Putin's hosting SNL?
Well, yeah. Okay, you love SNL. They have engaged. They've had Kanye on and all these people.
I know. I think it's really fucked up.
Okay, so defend that.
I'm not going to.
Okay. Ah, that felt good. Ooh, that felt good in the veins. Okay.
Well, to jump back to Potomac, I'm on Wendy's side. I think it's really fucked up. Mia just like wanted to fight and it was so weird.
I disagree. I mean, I don't want us to be fighting this whole episode, but I think
Thanksgiving.
That it's Thanksgiving. And so, you know what? If anything, it is a time for fighting. I think that there's no good side in this, but it's very similar to the Monique thing where it's like, okay, obviously Monique was a little bit more wrong for being aggressive, but Candace was so fucking annoying during that fight, like egging her on. And Wendy was so obnoxious. It was like, when it first happened, I was like, oh shit, why did Mia just do that? That's shit. That took it too far, whatever. And then within the next 5 minutes, I was like, okay, I'm on Mia's side. Like, Wendy is so annoying and like screaming at her and egging her on and like trying to get her to fight her again. And so it's like, sorry, I don't feel bad for you at all. Like, as everyone else at the table was saying, it's over, let it go, let it go. If you let it go, it'll stop. If you don't want to fight, just let it go. And she couldn't. Why? And
because
also,
someone had just thrown water on her face or champagne.
You think
or
that justifies asking someone to fight you and continually trying to confront them over and over again?
I think that Wendy is annoying, just like Candace. And mm-hmm. I think that there is something that she was set, she even when Mia starts like starting shit with her, she's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing right now? Like talking about Peter Thomas to me. And then Mia throws the drink and then Wendy is being annoying. She's like, look at that CEO. Look at that CEO.
Yes.
And that is frustrating. But I still think it's like, what are you supposed to do when someone throws a drink at your face? You're just supposed to be like, okay, I'm not engaging with this. I mean, yes, you are supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But I would have a really hard time doing that, even though I'm like the most conflict averse person ever. And I'd probably just like go into the bathroom and cry and quit the show.
Okay. There's a way to react where you're like, okay, there's still drama. You're still giving into the drama a little bit, but not screaming, repeating the same thing over and over again. The other issue I think for me is that I don't like Wendy in general. Like I find her annoying and obnoxious, braggadocious, and she thinks she's better than everyone else. So it's like, it's similar to,
she reminds me of like, Radswell.
Yeah, I can see that. And it's also like the Erica Jane thing where it's like, okay, you're just not likable. Like I know your crimes are less bad than Jen Shaw's, but you're not likable. And I think it's like Erica Jane now probably won't be convicted of anything, but she is convicted to the public of being an asshole, and now she'll never recover from that.
It's so true. Jen Shaw is like defrauded the elderly, and I still like her more than Erica Jane because Erica Jane
I love
is
her.
So
I want to hang out with her.
I'm worried about her. Her fucking, she's going to go to prison soon. I'm literally like, I was checking the date yesterday being like, when is she sentenced? Because I should keep an eye on that as if I'm like going to show up in court.
Well, the other thing is like Mia is really weird, and it's a huge red flag that her closest friend came on the trip and then immediately was like, I don't really like Mia that much. Like anyone else want to chat?
That was really like, weird. That was.
And why was she like screaming about her friend wanting to borrow deodorant? Like, who cares? But I do think she's weird and I like her for some reason. And also Wendy saying crater faced bitch.
That like, was disgusting. That was really mean and awful. Yeah.
So,
okay,
no.
You're right. There's two sides. I think Mia started it. And I think that you are going to have a reaction when someone starts a physical fight with you, which I think throwing a drink is. But there was a better way to react and it just unleashed. Well, it's why I said she's like Carol Radswell, because she acts as if she's smarter than everyone on the show.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't need to hear you repeat another time how you work at Johns Hopkins. Like, okay, that may be true, but you also are on The Real Housewives. So that's your defining character
right
now. Like you can't be like, I'm actually in academia. It's like you've taken a step in the wrong direction and you can't come back actually.
Well, I was most annoyed by her when she was like, I haven't gotten as much work done as you probably have, Mia, after she got her boobs and her butt done. And Mia was like, yeah, I've gotten everything done. I've gotten my nose, my lips. She says, she's like, I've gotten some work on my clit done. And she's like, my ass, all of it. And then finally, Wendy's like, okay, I also got my ass done. And it's like, wait, you got a bunch of work done and you're also going to like, even if you hadn't, why are you going to point out like someone that is sitting across from you that you've never met before that's gotten work done?
She sucks.
Well, on that note, we have to talk about the finale of Bachelor in Paradise. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I want true romance.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And we're back with True Romance. Now that we've discussed Tar and Real Housewives of Potomac, you know, that genre of...
equal in cultural significance.
Exactly. We have to talk about Bachelor in Paradise finale. Obviously, this season meant a lot to me. A lot happened to me personally watching it. Aaron Clancy, I have had a crush on for a few years now.
His last name?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Shocking. Is he Irish?
What? I think he is German, or he's part German, I think. Regardless.
Why? You saw like one Oktoberfest Instagram?
I literally watched one of his AMAs and I think he said that. I thought he was so hot and dumb. Like I knew he was dumb, but I could not see beyond how hot he was. And he is dating Genevieve. He's like kind of being mean to her. So I struggled with that. And then Reality Steve, who I get so invested in this show. I don't get invested in The Bachelor at all. I barely get invested in like reality shows. Bachelor in Paradise, to me, it's like, I don't know, it feeds all of my gossip needs. I love hearing about people's relationships. There's so many to pick from. I get attached. Noah and Abigail, when they broke up last year, I was really sad about for 24 hours. Anyway, and so Aaron is being really mean to Genevieve. I'm trying to look past it. I'm hoping they'll get back together. Reality Steve said they wouldn't, and of course they did not. We just found out that Aaron was dating two women before he went on the show, trying to convince one woman to stay with him through the show airing. This was revealed after they recorded the reunion, so it didn't get brought up. But he's just trash, and I hate him. And beyond that, the big news was that Victoria Fuller, a.k.a. had modeled for White Lives Matter, a.k.a. said that she had modeled for a company called We Love Marlins because she wanted to hide the fact that it was White Lives Matter. Convinces Johnny, who is a sad figure, I think. I think he went on Bachelor in Paradise to launch his white rapping career. And he ends up proposing, which he says a concerning amount of times he does not want to do, to Victoria.
So let's start with the second to last episode. The final rose ceremony.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Kate confronts Logan.
Logan, who really sadly, I'm like, do you have mother issues? Like, he is obsessed with this woman, Kate, who has strong substitute teacher who's acting like the teacher and everyone hates her energy.
She fucking sucks. She's basically the Zenib of Paradise. She tries to do like a weird confronting thing where she's like, I deserve better and I want to be happy and that's not with you or some bullshit. So Logan is like the only one to get kicked off. And then that launches into what honestly is always the most boring episode of the season, the second to last episode, when everyone just has conversations about their relationship and like what they're going to do. And so a lot of people just leave. The twins leave. Shanae leaves. Flo leaves. No one really cares. Danielle and Michael cry.
I almost fast forwarded through them. I'm just so over.
And then we have the Aaron and Genevieve breakup, which I couldn't respect her more for the move of saying absolutely zero when he's breaking up with her. She says not a single word. She just stares at him. And then she starts packing up and she's like venting to Victoria. And she's like, oh, and he thinks that he's going to put everything on me and it's all my fault. Okay, he's the one who did this, that, whatever. And then Victoria's like, yeah, that's fucked up. And she's like, I think I should tell him that. And Victoria's kind of like, and she's like, no, I need to say that. And she runs out. She's like, excuse me. She goes, excuse me, which I love excuse me as an attack.
There's a certain walk that women do when they're about to go tell someone off. And I do love it because you can feel it in your bones.
I want to always be walking that way. And she is like, oh, you're going to put this all on me. It's not all my fault. You're this, you're that. And it's kind of like a stupid argument, but I'm glad she got her second wind and confronted him. And then as she's leaving, she's like, I can't believe I like went through all this for a boy, not a man. And then she's like, this makes my brain itch, not pain, itch, which was like supposed to be a call out to him. But I was like, I think you have something severe going on medically that you need to get checked out.
Why? Because her brain was itching?
Her brain was itching. Like,
I understood what she meant, though. She said, I overlooked so many things because I wanted this to work, and it's making my brain itch. And I know that exact feeling where all of a sudden everything that you sort of let slide comes up after a breakup, and you're like, wait, and that, wait, what was I doing? And you get overwhelmed because you're just like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I was just trying to make something work that clearly wasn't, while the other person wasn't letting it.
Yeah, I do get that. Then we have the final one-on-one double date, which who cares? I mean, I'm really happy for Brandon and Serene, but it's just kind of like boring. Like, it's like, okay, you're so in love. Got it. Like, you fell in love at first sight. Cool. Like, anything else to offer? Any issues? And I'm also like, I'm sorry, but they must have.
Oh, yeah. They must have talked before the show.
Before. Yeah. I don't know. So whatever. And then we have the reunion where, as you said, all hell breaks loose.
It becomes an episode of Jerry Springer. Like, that's what I was like, can we just have like a little bit more like a class in this production? They're putting the camera on like, we have Victoria backstage, Johnny, and she will be out soon.
Yeah. Well, it's also like the audience gets so like invested, and they're like, they cut to the audience like shaking their head as Kate talks, like, oh my God, no way. And it's just like, who are these people that go to this?
I'm like,
it's 6 year old women sitting there shaking their head. No, and also they were like, oh, we have all these special guests too. We have Grocery Store Joe and Serena, we have Gabby and Rachel, who never say a word the whole reunion. I'm like, wait, can they contribute? Like, why are they just sitting there? That's weird. And then they just pull every couple out to like talk to them and be like, are you still together? Like, do you hate each other now? What's the drama? And they did bring out that Tarzan guy and he asked Jill to start dating him again. That was exciting. The guy who seemed to be kidnapped, who had that like terrified smile, is still with that girl.
He's still with Kira, which is interesting.
He needs serious mental health attention.
Tyler. Is this kid Tyler is an incel. So he was on Gabby and Rachel's season.
Really? I like Tyler. I like his Jersey accent.
But here's what I don't like about him. So Tyler is really hot. Like, I do think he's really attractive. He's shorter than me, but you know, like, that's okay. And he dated, gosh.
He dated Rachel from Gabby and Rachel's season. Then he came on Paradise and he started dating Brittany.
Okay. He dated Brittany. And when they come back for the reunion, he's like, Brittany dumped me on FaceTime in Italy. Then Brittany comes on. She is so ready for this conversation. She's like, Tyler, I said I needed a break. Then you called me. Then you FaceTimed me. Then you DM'd me. And you're like, oh, you're that guy. Like, there's people like Aaron who come on The Bachelor for like screen time and are like, you know, trying to hook up with girls. And then there's people like Tyler who you're like, oh, you're just like obsessed with finding a wife. I'm worried that the new season of The Bachelor is going to be similar, where this guy just continuously cries. I think his name is Matt.
Zach.
Exactly. Completely forgettable face. These girls are so beautiful. And they're like, he is the most amazing man. And I'm like, I'm actually scared that Zach is going to get his heart broken because Did you see they like post, they have all these like teaser shots of him showering? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but he's not someone who I want to watch shower.
I know. And also there wasn't that much drama in the preview. Like they're like, there's going to be a lot of tears. Okay, there was tears, but there wasn't really fighting. Like I'm probably not going to be tuning in. There is a new Bravo dating show. Let me look this up. Love Without Borders is going to be coming to Bravo, to a Bravo near you. It's a social experiment.
Love.
And it follows American singles who have struck out at love in the U.S. and will travel to unknown overseas destinations to be paired with their perfect life partner, all while saying goodbye to their jobs, homes, and families just to see if global matchmakers can find their person. So basically someone quitting their job and saying goodbye to their family so they can fly to an unknown destination to meet a stranger and see if they fall in love.
What could go wrong?
I will be there. It premieres next Wednesday.
I was literally just reading about Phoebe Bridgers and Paul Mescal, and someone asked her what her favorite holiday was or something. And she was like, Christmas. I went to my boyfriend's house in Ireland and it was like a full on rom-com. And my immediate thought was, I need to go to Ireland. Oh, I need to go to Ireland and fall in love. So I would do that show if they dropped me in the middle of a fucking sheep field in Ireland.
Okay, yeah. Maybe you should have. Well, it's probably too late to apply. But
listen, after I got rejected from The Bachelor, I thought that was something that, like, I actually, that saddened me. And I don't know if I want to put myself out there again.
Well, I think that fortune favors the bold.
That is true. That's true. That's actually what Logan said on Gabby and Rachel's season, but then he got COVID. Then he got thrown off the ship.
If you're not bold enough to quit your job and fly to an unknown destination, and let's be honest, this is Bravo. They're not going to be sending people to like Sicily, to White Lotus Sicily. They're going to be sending people to like Kabul or something.
Yeah, I think I'll skip Zach's season for that happily.
I want you.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Like, okay, so Greg Grippo, who's with Victoria now, on his season of The Bachelorette, which was Katie's season, I really liked him. But it's like Victoria has brought out some weird, like, devilish side to him where he's like, oh, we're doing that. We're showing our tattoos. When he did that, I was like, this like puts me off. When they both showed their chow tattoos, like, AKA the Italian word for hi and goodbye. Bye. It made me want to laser off all the ink on my body.
So I feel bad because something I like to do is just go through all, everyone's social media accounts while I'm watching Bachelor episodes, because people have really already been posting their statements because it's been on the East Coast. And it is crazy, these fans. The fans are insane. Like, I feel passionately about Kate, and yet fans are posting like, I hope you never find love. You're awful. Delete your account. Bye. You're disgusting. Vomit emoji. Listen, I did that to Yosef because I thought he was like, I literally trolled Yosef because I thought he was so awful and like posted vomit emojis on his account because I truly was like triggered by the way he was like yelling at Claire Crawley. But
yeah,
watching people, and then people are going after Victoria, like, you're disgusting. You two deserve each other. You probably have an STD, like all this stuff. I was like, this is absolutely insane. Like, so many people have this time and energy. I, meanwhile, am like staying up till 11 p.m. looking at their comments. So I guess I have that time and energy as well. But it's, I was like, is this why, like, I'm sorry, because people say this a lot. Is this how Trump was elected? Like, is this why?
Like, okay, I hate to say this, but it's like the same mentality of when I found out that Jenna Dewan was divorcing Channing Tatum. Like, it was like enraging to me because I was like, wait, how could you not see what you had was so beautiful and wonderful? Do I know him? Do I know anything about his personality? Well, I've heard some good things, but I don't really know what went on behind closed doors. But you get this rage where you're like, wait, if I was married to Channing Tatum, I wouldn't have complained about a single thing. I would have just been happy all the time and there would be no problems. It's a false fantasy, but that's what happens to the viewers of The Bachelor and Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. They're like, you were with Johnny. And I know Johnny sucks to us, but to some people, they're like, that's you were true. With Johnny and you complained about it and then you left him with someone else. You must be fucking deranged because I would have done anything for Johnny. And I don't know. I mean, I did see people posting like Tyler and Johnny for joint bachelors,
I know, which I was kind of. Oh God, you're. Insane.
Well, it's appealing to me just because Zach sucks so much. I'm like, well, I would rather see Johnny and Tyler than Zach, but like, whatever. They all suck. There was no one this, and the over glamorization even within the cast where they're like, Rodney is the best person to ever walk the earth. Like, okay, he's hot and he's nice, but like, I don't think that, like, okay, Michael and Danielle truly seem like Danielle's like a fucking school nurse and seems like the kindest person to ever like exist. But like, what has Rodney done? Like, he seems nice, but I don't think that he should never have to go through anything hard or people will sob, devastated. Not a single one of my friends has ever cried because of something I went through.
It's as if when I like have gotten dumped, Devin was like, no.
And I'm like, okay, this girl deserves love in a way that no one else does. And she would have treated him perfectly. She would have treated him like a prince. She would have done anything for him. Like, no.
Someone posted like, what has Andrew even been through on the beach? Why are people saying that he's been through so much? And someone commented, his best friend Rodney died.
No, remember they were all dissociated on the mattress. Like when Marinara sauce got there, they were all fully dissociated, staring out at the ocean like they would never recover. And it was like, I think it's just one of those things where it's like they're trapped in this like high pressure situation. Oh, and then like the smallest thing happens and it's like fucking Chernobyl to them.
I would still watch him on The Bachelor just because I think he's so hot. That's what I couldn't get behind it. I was like, I just don't find Zach attractive. It's the same with Pilot Pete. Yep. So I was like, Pilot Pete just looks like a tall little boy. I can't get behind these women being like, I have just never felt this way before.
I know.
I'd rather watch White Lotus season 2, which is actually the equivalent of porn to me.
Okay, we had a disagreement because Carolina is into the Love Island guy, the tattooed British guy.
I literally, watching the Love Island guy with Hayley Lee Richardson, I thought, oh, I should have sex soon because that looks really good.
Okay, the way he like grabbed her face and kissed her was actually really hot and I was really into that, but I just find him too boyish. Like, I'm more attracted to the Michael Imperioli's son, but I'm not really that attracted to him. No. I'm most attracted to probably Theo James. Is that his name?
Yeah,
Theo
Vaughn. He's working for me too. But then
he's great.
Aubrey Plaza's husband too could get it.
I cannot stand him.
Oh my God. The shower scene?
Okay, no. I hate everything about his vibe. I'm also I'm too triggered by the whole situation too. Like, I'm just like, wait, they cheated on our wives. Like, I can't.
I know. Devin is like staying up at night plotting revenge.
I still think about
characters.
Like, I literally still think about the fact that like Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain were like flirting with each other on the red carpet and their significant others had to watch it. Like, and it makes me so mad. I'm like, I can't watch The Good Nurse. Like,
now, yeah, Oscar Isaac kissed your inner arm. Well, we hope that you have an incredible Thanksgiving. It's good if you eat too much. It's okay to bond over food. It's okay to gain weight over the holidays. I used to throw up after this holiday, and my dad famously once said to me, can I go to the bathroom first? Because you're going to be in there for a while after Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
And I said, fair enough. Go ahead.
Wow.
Till tomorrow. Till tomorrow.
Till tomorrow.
Love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.
Coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.